Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, coming to you this Friday. As the Pelicans, it's actually a game day, take on Minnesota on the road, start of a bit of a road trip, which is going to be going through. Their next home game is actually Muses Thursday, which, depending on how this road trip goes, might not be a highly attended game. But a lot to talk about today here on Locked On Pelicans, despite basically the entire Madison household being sick. I'm still suffering the effects of some food poisoning. My lovely girlfriend Brittany is probably gotten food poisoning as well and isn't doing too well. And my dog is recovering from back surgery, so everyone in the house is not doing too well today. So that's why it's a little bit late today, why it's kind of just the whole podcast has been thrown off this entire week. But today, going to preview that Minnesota game for you. I want to give you a bit of an update on the ownership situation with the Pelicans as well, and also talk about whether or not they're a dysfunctional franchise. Also, don't forget that intro music is brought to you by the local indie band called Vox and the Helm. They're actually playing at Gasa Gasa on Ferret Street tonight at 9 p.m. A single release party for their new album, which is coming out in the future, called Aloha Shores. It should be a lot of fun. Get there. That's a great venue. And thanks to those guys for providing the music here for Locked On Pelicans. So the ownership update. And this came out exactly a week ago, last Friday. But we had other stuff to talk about on the podcast before I got a chance to touch on this. So as many of you know, I'm sure almost all of you know, Pelicans owned by Tom Benson was going through that largely public and kind of ugly, I guess you would call it maybe a separation from his daughter and the grandchildren, and basically tried to cut them out of the Saints and Pelicans franchises. There were trusts established that control both the Saints and the Pelicans, with them set to basically inherit, you know, percentages of the trust, I guess is how it works. I haven't, you know, dived into the financials for a lot of this here. And basically the goal was that it wasn't that they were just going to lose controlling interest in their stake in the sports teams. And basically the monetary value of equal value was going to be replaced, whether it's in cash, IOUs, or stakes in his various other businesses and enterprises, whether it's real estate, the car dealerships, what have you. So it was basically just a replacement. They just weren't going to get to control these sports franchises, and it was going to be Gail, who is his third wife, who is going to receive the sole ownership of the two teams. And obviously, sports franchises are very valuable. And so they fought to have this reversed and to not let it be a thing due to the trust law and all of that. And at one point, I think this is what everyone remembers most from this kind of public dispute, was that they had looked to have him declared incompetent and not able to make decisions on his own, where they had three separate psychiatrists basically have to evaluate him. That was where it all came out that he was living off candy or what have you. And then he was saying that his, you know, grandchildren and everyone tried to have him killed, basically. And the largely just very ugly, it didn't look good for anyone involved, dispute over this. But that now, for the most part, is put to bed with a settlement being reached this past Friday. And basically, had they not reached a settlement, this was going to court and to trial, I believe in Texas, probably in San Antonio, on Monday. And that's something that the NFL and the NBA really wanted to avoid. Because at that point, detailed financial records for both franchises was going to come out, knowing exactly how much their, you know, the estimated value of each team is, how much they're making, how much they're spending. Basically, all the details of these franchises was about to come out, which is something people, you know, people in the leagues, and I'm sure Benson himself, don't want to come out. You know, obviously, it doesn't look good for an owner to be raking in money hand over fist, while charging, what is it, like $9.50 for a beer in the arena, or having season tickets cost a certain amount, or merchandise being so expensive, when basically people just look at how much money they're giving to the man. And, you know, it's, again, you care about these teams, you want them to do well, but you still don't want to see like a greedy owner who's not spending money on players, not spending money on whatever it is. And I'm not meaning to say Benson is that, though there are, you know, basically lots of rumors out there that he's considered a cheap owner, that he doesn't necessarily care about the Pelicans as much as the Saints because they don't make the same kind of money. But frankly, you see this throughout different sports leagues where you have a cheap owner. You know, think the former Clippers owner, I'm blanking, Donald Sterling, just being cheap, trying to make money, keep payroll low, things like that. They're not good looks whatsoever. So they wanted to avoid that. You just don't need those details out, people picking through all of that. So they avoid a trial by settling, and it seems like for now it's all set where ownership is going to Gail Benson when, you know, Tom Benson dies, moves on, passes away. I don't know what the nicest way to put it really is. And, you know, he's old. So it's one of those things that you need to kind of keep in mind if you're the Saints and Pelicans, to have a succession plan, because there's always been rumors of the Pelicans leaving the city of New Orleans. This doesn't necessarily do anything to kind of quiet that. If Gail inherits the team, she can either stay here, keep them, or sell them, and they could potentially move. Who knows what, you know, her motivations necessarily are. This is kind of contrasted to what the Jazz did within the past 2 weeks, where they established a trust to control the Jazz, but they stated it was going to be a nonprofit. So all the trustees and people who have ownership stakes in there, basically, if they were to sell the team, they don't get any of the money from the sale because it all gets reinvested back into the team. So there's absolutely zero reason to sell that team whatsoever and to have it potentially be moved or what have you, ensuring basically a nice continuity for the foreseeable future for them, and that they're going to be staying in Salt Lake City, which is also, you know, a small market like New Orleans is. Also, which is interesting to note during this, is that once Tom Benson passes away, there's no clause in the, or it's, at least it's been reported that there's no clause in the deal stating that Rita Benson LeBlanc or any of his children, grandchildren, they're allowed to, I think, contest his will once he passes on. So this likely is, they're just going to settle this for now, get their equal value, you would assume, and then look for something that once he goes away, this is probably going to crop back up as they try and make another play, which, again, if they feel they're entitled to it, I'm not trying to pass judgment on anyone here, and I want to make that very clear. If they feel they're entitled to it, go ahead, by all means, and let people that are, you know, smarter than me, like a judge, decide what the best way to go about this is, because I'm certainly not qualified for that. Probably very few people are. So again, I don't want to make it seem like I'm passing judgment either way. Biggest thing to me that would be the most important is ensuring that this team is going to stay here in New Orleans and not move anywhere else. So this leads me to a kind of a fun topic here on a Fridays. We get to joke around a little bit though, which is, are the Pelicans a dysfunctional franchise or not? And I'll actually say no, and I'm going to give you some examples of teams, and this is in the news the past couple days with the Knicks and Charles Oakley. I'll give you some examples of teams that are dysfunctional franchises, and you'll hopefully, maybe people at the end of this be like, okay, you know, the Pelicans just suck and they're a bad team and they're kind of stuck in a no-win situation where it doesn't look like they're going to improve tremendously in the future, but at least they're not dysfunctional. And that in and of itself is a bit of a good thing. So, like I said, I think the Pels are just bad. Not good. Not playoff worthy. Not kind of getting out of the muck that they're in with any easy way. But, and let's run through some teams. At least they're not the Kings. And you guys know these stories. It starts with DeMarcus Cousins. It's just a disaster with there. The problem is they can't really trade him because they're not going to get any sort of equal value back. But it goes beyond that. You have Vivek Ranadive, their owner, who wanted to play 4-on-5 on defense and leave one guy under the opposing basket to try and cherry pick easy baskets if you got to stop while playing 4-on-5. Don't forget, they have Vlade Divac, who needed to bring in other people to help him be the GM because he felt other GMs were way smarter than him. And the guy he brought in is Peja Stojaković, another former player teammate of his, who, again, these are probably smart dudes. Let's be honest here. I don't know if they're, you know, running a team smart. Clearly, they're not doing a good job. Think about all the coaching issues. They moved on for George Karl. They had Mike Malone there, moved on from him. You're on so many coaches, just turnover, 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 treating Boogie Cousins poorly, firing his favorite coach while he was out with, I think, not a staph infection or something he had. He was out just very sick, and they fired his coach without really consulting him about it. Your best player. That's dysfunction right there. Let's jump to another team. What about the Chicago Bulls recently, where you had Rajon Rondo, Jimmy Butler, and Dwayne Wade all taking shots at each other through social media, through Twitter, through Instagram. Also, just signing all of these guys who aren't good three-point shooters to play in Fred Hoiberg's space and pace system, which relies on fast-paced athleticism and open three-point shooting, and you sign not good three-point shooters. That's a bit of a problem. They've looked terrible recently. You have even Rondo being like, yeah, I got fined for what I did. The GM gave a press conference, didn't say anyone had been fined, just let that one slip. And then Rondo comes up, oh yeah, I got fined. And it's no big deal and he doesn't even care. So again, that is dysfunction right there. Let's jump to another one, and I'm going to leave the Knicks for last. You know they're coming. But the Lakers are a bit dysfunctional, too. You have Jim Buss and Jeannie Buss running the team, kind of doing different things. Jeannie running the business side of things, which he's actually qualified to do. Jim Buss has no idea what's going on with player stuff. Again, hiring Byron Scott, who doesn't play young guys on a young team, that's not good. They need to tank and keep their pick. It needs to be top three protected, otherwise it goes to Philly. But the problem was for him, he said if they don't make it to the second round of the playoffs, but I think it's at the end of this season, he'll just give his side of the operations over to Jeannie Buss, who then went and hired Magic Johnson as a consultant for the team. And a week into this, Magic Johnson, who, by the way, if you follow on Twitter, you guys know I'm from Los Angeles originally. I love the Lakers. I love Magic Johnson. Second best Laker of all time behind Kobe. But Magic Johnson, if you look at his tweets, they are literally the worst things I've ever seen in my life. Like, literally the worst tweets you can imagine. Just take a look at his Twitter. It's so awful. It's like, LeBron is a good player. It's like, thanks for your insight. I needed to follow you to know you probably thought that. But a week into him being a consultant, he's like publicly trying to get Jim Buss's job. Jim Buss also owns the team, too, along with Jeannie Buss. This is the weirdest situation. So if they don't win, they get to keep their pick and Jim Buss is out of a job. Or he can try and have them win, get into the second round of the playoffs, but not really win a title and lose a high pick, potentially. None of that's good. None of that's good at all. And then you have the New York Knicks, which just, you know, where even to begin. First, they hand out that contract to Joakim Noah, which is probably the worst contract in the league now. Then they trade for Derrick Rose, who at the time was embroiled, though he was acquitted, of an awful-sounding rape scandal. And that was their big move this offseason. I mean, come on. You have Isaiah Thomas, who in the past was accused of sexual assault. He has a terrible record as a GM. You have Phil Jackson tweeting out nonsensical things that make it look like he's high. Also, who has a worse record as president of this team than Isaiah Thomas did. You have James Dolan, who seemed the owner who'd rather probably play with his band and raise cable rates in New York City than see this team potentially win. And now you have a guy who won a title on your team, Charles Oakley, who, by the way, is a beloved figure around the NBA, getting thrown out, arrested. He bought a ticket to the game, and you're going to say you're going to have him pulled up on criminal trespassing charges when he bought a ticket? Yeah, if I was that dude, I'd probably want to choke out James Dolan too. Seeing what he's done with this team, they are so bad. You have Carmelo Anthony, who they desperately need to trade, who at this point is tired of Phil Jackson taking shots at him through the media and through media lackeys, kind of, and, you know, mouthpieces for Phil Jackson. That he's and he probably wants to be gone from this team too, but to spite the Knicks and to spite Phil Jackson, he's probably not going to waive his no trade clause and be stuck there. That's dysfunction. Pelicans, you have one situation where you could maybe call it dysfunctional, and that's with Dell Demps, where he probably needs to make the playoffs to keep his job, which means you might sacrifice potentially the long-term health of this franchise to make the playoffs in the short term. Bit dysfunction, not nearly as much as the rest of those franchises, though. But let's move on to the game tonight, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Pelicans traveling up north a little bit here. For that, both teams have the same record at 20-33. They're tied for 12th in the Western Conference. About it's 3.5 games back of the eighth seed. Minnesota's been very underwhelming this year. You figured with Karl Anthony Towns was kind of the new hotness, replacing Anthony Davis after last season. He's cooled off a bit. They brought in Tom Thibodeau, a coach who had been linked to the Pelicans the year before, whose calling card is defense, yet they are not good defensively, really, at all. I think they are in the bottom five of the league in defense. Let me pull it up right here. Yeah, 25th out of 30th when it comes to defensive rating. So not good. Zach LaVine, their all-star kind of dunk contest winning point guard, shooting guard, you know, combo guard there. Tours ACL is out for the year. But they do have talent. You know, Karl Anthony Towns is going to be rough. But, you know, good news is they're kind of banged up right now. Chris Dunn is going to be questionable for the Pelicans or to play against the Pelicans. Zach LaVine is out. Those are two, you know, you don't want anyone to be hurt, but it helps the Pels, at least in the backcourt. Jrue Holiday, you know, should be able to handle Ricky Rubio on the perimeter. They don't really have many other, you know, big perimeter threats other than, you know, Andrew Wiggins is good. He started to play quite well for them. But in terms of backcourt, you're not as worried about it. Other things with this game is Anthony Davis loves to light up Karl Anthony Towns. I don't know exactly what it is, but you can see there's kind of something personal about this. And Davis makes it a point to stick it to the other Kentucky player. Again, the guy who's supposed to be the new hotness compared to him. So Davis, you know, expect him to have a big game tonight, especially with Minnesota not having a good defense. For the Pelicans, though, they are the injury report doesn't look too great either, unfortunately. You have, and I've got to pull it up here, so give me a second. All right, here we go. Alexei Ajinsan is out. It just says personal. Etuan Moore is doubtful. Personal. I don't know what's going on with either of them. I'm sure we'll find out as the day goes on a little bit more. Tyreke Evans is listed as questionable. He was doubtful on Wednesday. Questionable here this Friday with the left ankle sprain. Terrence Jones is also questionable with the right thumb sprain. Given that you have Etuan Moore and Alexei Ajinsan out, you have to figure both of them will try and go. And I expect you'll see at least one of them on the court, probably Tyreke Evans, if not both, which will at least give the Pelicans some depth. Otherwise, you're going to see more of Tim Frazier. If Jones can't go, you'll see more of Donatas Mata-Yunus. Maybe a bit of an Omer Asik sighting. We'll see. This game, though, with the injury to Zach LaVine for Minnesota, makes this more winnable. Pels really need to try and win these, even though at this point it's probably better for them to lose. I'm not going to try and predict this one. I think we've learned with the Pels it's not the easiest thing to do here. So thank you all for listening. Hopefully next week Locked On Pelicans is significantly healthier. Don't forget, you know, show tonight at Gasa Gasa, Vox and the Hound. I'm going to try and make it. I think I'm listed as questionable right now on the injury report, game time decision, depending on how everything goes. But I would certainly try and get out there. You should as well, though. They're big Pelicans fans. They're awesome. I've heard a lot of the new album. It's really good. Get out there, support local acts. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes, is on Audio Boom, wherever podcasts are. Do me a favor. Look, this is the only podcast that's coming to you guys 5 days a week. that gives you this kind of insight that's going to talk about ownership, talk about trades, break down plays, give you previews. Nothing else like this is out there. So do me a favor. I need you guys to do something. Follow it on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. Rate it 5 stars on iTunes. Like it on Facebook. It's Locked On Pelicans. It's all easy to find. That's what keeps this podcast free for everyone. And if anyone's interested in advertising on there, again, it's all keeps this free in 5 days a week. Don't hesitate to reach out. It's Jake at bourbonstreetshots.com is the email I use. Jake at bourbonstshots.com. Rates are cheap. That's the nice thing about this as well. You get a large percentage of listeners here. Everyone's passionate about the Pelicans. And hopefully they win tonight. So enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully the Pelicans get a win. And I'll be back with you all on Monday to recap the weekend.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.